Blog Talk Radio.
Here of Suspense Radio one-on-one. Of course, it is partnered up with PartnersInCrimeTours.net, and this is a blog stop for authors on tour. Today we have author Steve Gossington, who's going to be talking about his latest book, Fractured Eden. Of course, we want to remind you that all the shows here on Suspense Radio are brought to you by Kensington Books. Please visit KensingtonBooks.com to check out their authors and latest releases, and of course all their back books that they have, and always support our sponsors, along with DarkRenaissanceBooks.com for people who are with the occult and the ghosts and the goblins and the zombies. They got you covered there. So let's jump in here to our guest. Like we said, he is author Steve Gossington. His book is called Fractured Eden, and we are happy to have him with us. So Steve, thank you so much for coming on. How you doing?
John, I appreciate you having me big time, and I'm doing well. I live in Florida,
wonderful.
So the weather's nice here, so everything is good.
I was just in Florida a month ago. My in-laws just moved down there to the Daytona Beach area. It was a little chillier, actually, than it was in California. It was a little shocking. But, you know, Florida is just one of those states that you just kind of are happy with. You know, it's just a happy state, I think.
I think you're right. I've been happy here for sure.
So, your latest book, Fractured Eden, you self-published this book, which was a challenge in itself. We'll get into a little bit of that later. So why don't you go ahead and jump right in and let us know what the book's about.
Well, I wanted to write a fiction book of suspense, and I started with a question about a doctor who had some misfortunes befall him. And I sort of dreamed up the plot after that as to how he got his life back together and added in the suspense part, which I had a lot of fun with because in my years of medical practice, many of the patients that have fascinated me are the ones that have mental illness. And so I wove those characters into the plot, and they became major players in the plot as well. So the book is about a doctor who is trying to get his life back together, and he lands in a very strange town in East Texas, which is next to the Big Thicket, which is an even stranger place historically, and I had a lot of fun with that. So the setting and the town filled with mentally ill people and addicted people are all threatening to this doctor. So the story is about how he gets his life back together, how he survives a serial killer, and sort of how he stays sane as well.
Mm-hmm. So let's get a little bit into your main character here, Dr. Rosling, and let's talk about him. And let's look at him because this is your first book. This is, you know, this is your headlining, you know, suspense thriller book that you have coming out. And it always takes a little bit of time, of course, to put together the plots, the characters, and everything you want to have going together. So was it the character of Dr. Rosling that got you excited about this book? Was it the plot? Give us kind of like the piecing of the puzzles together and bringing together Fractured Eden.
The start of the book in my mind was, again, what would happen to a physician who had some unfortunate circumstances befall him. And he was a family practice doctor, and he had definitely worked with mental illness. But bringing in the mentally ill patients from my memory, actually, I brought them out of my experience. Schizophrenic patients, bipolar patients, addicted patients, all those patients I even deal with today in my practice. And so, and past that, I had to have, I thought, a setting that was equally suspenseful with this strange town and this unusual forest called the Big Thicket. And so the plot evolved as a series of obstructions and obstacles and threats to this doctor who's basically, again, trying to get his life back together, trying to convince himself that he's actually competent and a good doctor, and he wants to prove to himself that he can practice good medicine in this strange town. And again, there's some love interest there that sort of help keep him straight. And I also, the way some of the characters evolve, they have paranormal characteristics to them, which I thought was kind of interesting too. For example, one of the more interesting patients to me is the bipolar patient of the good doctor, who actually can sort of see things in the future happening, sort of psychic, and ends up, you know, helping the doctor at times. So I just had, you know, I didn't know how the plot was going to end. I didn't know the ending of the book. I just sort of just went where the characters seemed to want to go, and it evolved into, I it was an interesting story to me. And it's another thing that really a theme that came out as I was writing the book is this doctor was really beaten down in the beginning, and he has these threats and threats to his life and sanity in this town. And I sort of struggled with where is he going to find the courage? I mean, I was putting myself in his position. What if that were me, you know, and a serial killer was after me? I mean, how would I find the courage to deal with that, especially, at the moment of death, impending death? So I had a lot of soul searching about, you know, where would he find courage, and where is courage? I mean, where do any of us find courage when the going gets tough? So that evolved as part of one of the main themes of the story, actually.
And, of course, like you mentioned, you know, your history, and people probably, you know, don't know maybe, you know, of course, your background, unless they go to your website, which is stephengossington.com. But you've been an emergency room physician now for over 30 years, so you have quite an extensive background of, you know, mentally ill patients, a lot of psychological things that are going on with people, and you've seen it all. I mean, with 30 years, there's probably not much you haven't really seen. So you had so I guess you want to say you got a lot of source material to kind of go back to.
Oh, was I have it, much to draw from.
Yeah, I mean, now, you know, was this like about the last 5, 6, 7 years that you decided that you kind of wanted to write? Was there maybe a certain patient, something that kind of hit your psyche that was like, you know what, I think that these stories, you know, would be really good and really interesting to kind of put down from a sense, because, like you said, you know, because you've kind of seen it all and you've kind of been able to experience it all firsthand.
Yes. Actually, you brought up the writing thing. The writing bug actually hit me about 30 years ago when I was in academic medicine, and I was publishing book chapters in medical textbooks and writing journal articles and that. And later on, I read something Michael Crichton said about musing about his experience at Harvard Medical School. And the same thing happened to me that happened to him, and that is, once I got published, my coworkers and medical students and people around me started treating me differently, with more respect. And I learned that I of course, I like that feeling, and I just learned that, the writing bug really hit me. I mean, I haven't stopped since. So, I've been writing constantly, or thinking about writing, for the last 30 years. Initially, it was medical literature. Then I got into some travel literature with Disney-type books, and I still write those. And I decided to Trifiction about 20 years ago. I wrote my first, I wrote two novels. And back then, before self-publishing was even a blip on the radar, you know, it was very difficult for a new author to... I tried to find agents and went to writing workshops, read books about writing, and tried to shore myself up, but it just never happened. But I still had the bug to write fiction. And, again, a lot of it has to do, even back then, with mental illness and the patients that I had been fascinated with over the years. Well, finally, I got to go to a 3-day writing conference, and it was a fiction writing conference for physicians. It was about 6 years ago, I believe. And the conference was given by two physicians who wrote, Tess Gerritsen and Michael Palmer. Yeah.
Two of the greatest.
Yes, and it was a fantastic conference. And I met an agent there who seemed to see something in my work that might pay off or work in the future. And she hooked me up, and this has really made the difference. She hooked me up with an editor who just took me to school. I mean, big time. I felt like I was getting a PhD. And I think all writers continually try to improve their writing, and I'm still working on that now. But this editor took me, I think, to the next level with Fractured Eden and you know, and helped me carve the story out and the proper story arc and the characters and the setting. She helped me with all that. So that's pretty much how Fractured Eden came to be. And... again, as a debut author, in fact, my editor recommended, Steve, just go ahead and get it out there, self-publish it, and, you know, and go from there, keep writing, you know, and maybe someday I will get an agent and a publisher, I don't know. But so far, the self-publishing route has been fascinating and fun for me. I don't know that I ever want to do it any differently in the future.
Well, you know, it's one of those things that gives you total control over everything. You know, you don't have to, you know, you're not really with the constraints of a publisher telling you this, telling you now. Now, that can be a good thing and a bad thing because, you know, some
right.
people need to have that structure. Some people do not, you know, but you have an outside editor, which you mentioned. And I think that that's one of the biggest things that a lot of self-published authors do not have. Is they don't go through that editing process. They don't take the time to really go through, because I'm sure your first draft and you thought it was pretty good and then you sent it out and you got it back and you're like, it wasn't very good at all, I guess.
No.
And you had
no.
to go through and massage it and change all that.
Correct, correct. And yes, and I even think my editor at first blush wasn't really sure that the book was gonna take. But I did everything she recommended. I read the books on writing that she recommended. And by the way, I felt like I'd been wandering in the wilderness for 30 years. You know, if you Google how to write fiction, you get millions of hits. And it's what was happening to me is I wasn't finding the right books for what I wanted to do, for what I wanted to accomplish. So she directed me to some books that really helped me, I think. They're still my Bible when it comes to, you know, when I'm writing a book. And I am. I'm writing a book. I'm writing two novels right now. So I'm using what she taught me to continue writing.
So let's get into some of the other characters that you have here in the book. Because it's always those side secondary characters, you know, the villains that I always think kind of are the ones that drive the story forward. I mean, the hero's the one that is the front of the book and kind of out there in the beginning, but it's those villains and it's those secondary characters, whether they're good or bad, or it's how they pull that hero in those different directions. Can you talk a little bit about some of those characters? Which ones maybe you kind of gave you a little bit more... surprise that maybe you thought they were going to do, or kind of ended up being a little different at the end than they were at the beginning?
Well, right. The main character that comes to mind is the villain, the main villain. And my editor told me, and I've since learned, that my villain initially was too dimensional. She said, you know, develop a more of a backstory for this guy and why he is the way he is. So I had a lot of fun with that. And again, it went to my mental illness experience in the background, in my past. And his backstory, I think, explains why he is crazy and why he does shoot up people and kill them, and he's just a killing machine. So, even with the way Aaron reacts with this villain, of course he's petrified at first. And another issue with the plot that I had to figure out was, why doesn't Aaron just get the hell out of there? You know, I mean,
really?
If somebody's threatening to kill you, you know, just go somewhere else. Well, no, he can't do that because he has ties there now, and he has this woman that's also been threatened, and he's afraid for her life as well. So he realizes that if he runs, he's just gonna be a coward, and he's gonna really be ashamed of himself. He's gonna be back where he started. So, but his interaction with the villain in the end, I don't know. I want to give away the ending. So much.
No, don't give away the ending, but yeah.
Right. The villain actually, there is, and that's another theme of the book, and Aaron keeps telling his patients this, his mentally ill patients, his Army veteran with PTSD that he treats, his schizophrenic patient. There is always hope. You know, everybody has hope, no matter what your circumstance. And that is true also for the villain. And I, you know, that becomes an important part of the story for the villain. Yeah, so working with these mentally ill characters to me was just very, very interesting. Their dialogue, you know, some of the schizophrenic patients go into these stream of consciousness kind of babble that some schizophrenic patients do. Sometimes the bipolar patients that I've seen, if they're really manic, you can't. Their words are coming out faster than their thoughts, and their brains can't keep up with spitting out the words. So it's really pressured speech. And again, those aspects of mental illness in my characters were kind of fun to flesh out and to show how ill these people can really become. And, you know,
now,
and also we're all faced with this in our country. People that go around shooting up places and killing a bunch of people, a lot of times it's not necessarily terrorism, it's, you know, it's true mental illness, and they're schizophrenic, and they're paranoid, and they think they see the devil, and this kind of thing, and voices tell them to do this. So it's scary. You know, it's a scary part of our world right now. And I explored that in some of the characters in the plot.
You know, one of the things, and you kind of hit on a subject, because it just so happened that last night in Kalamazoo, Michigan, there was a rampage shooting, and it had to do with a guy just going around and just shooting people at random. Now, of course, mental illness is going to be brought into play there. I mean, that's exactly
right.
What that was a mental ill patient. And it's not, and I always tell people, ISIS doesn't scare me over here. It's the domestic people that are here. It's my neighbor that I don't know what he's going through or how he's going to crack or what's going to happen, because it just happens at any time. But, and it's kind of like, you know, you can kind of see the warning signs, I guess, out there. And maybe you can, and maybe you can't. I mean, I guess a lot of people kind of hide it. But for the people that say that they kind of do hear voices, and they really believe in their heart that that stuff is real, how scary is it when you're as a doctor and you hear them say, and they don't want to listen to anybody unless they agree with what
right.
they are saying. How is that kind of handled, and how is it written, and how can you write it like that?
Yeah, the way it's handled in medicine, thankfully, the field of psychiatry has advanced a lot since the days of Sigmund Freud, and there are specific medical therapy. We understand the biochemistry of some of these mentally ill patients, so we can treat with specific medication. And if a schizophrenic patient, most schizophrenic patients, most bipolar patients, if they take their medicines, and there are various options for medical treatment, but most of the time they will stabilize, and they'll quit hearing the voices, and you know they'll become more rational. So in the ER, if you're confronted with a patient who, I had one girl who I'll never forget. She was trying to scratch her eyes out because she was a young woman. She thought her eyes were evil, and she had pretty much destroyed her corneas and felt no pain, you know, because voices were telling her to do this. So when faced with a calamity like that and a patient in such distress, we pump medication into them for the specific purpose of making them come back to earth and get a little more rational, and hopefully the voices in their heads will dissipate. So that's really the only hope doctors have, and neighbors and people in the community, is recognizing somebody going off the rail and getting them treatment. So, and that plays a part in the book. I mean, even the doctor himself faces, his own mental health issues in the book, and it becomes very personal. I do emphasize that for a lot of mental illness, not 100% of, there are some mental illnesses that we haven't found a good treatment for, but
right.
For most mental illnesses, there is a path to recovery and stabilization, and we just have to keep remembering that. One of my characters in the book is an elderly psychiatrist who befriends the main doctor, Aaron, and we go through his history. He's retired, and he's in his early 90s, but he really was hammered by some patients one patient in particular that he completely misdiagnosed, and he just was just flailing himself that he didn't foresee this guy, you know, going postal or crazy or however you want to say it. So I have a lot of fun with that, but again, the theme of the book is there is hope for mentally ill patients. There is hope for treatment. There is hope for stabilization. We have to recognize it when we see it, hopefully as physicians and as people in the community. I mean, we just have to be aware that mental illness is out there. It's common. And hopefully get these people to treatment.
I take it. Are you going to be writing a series? Is this going to be a series going forward? Are you going to do more standalones, or is this going to be something that people are going to see Dr. Roesling and kind of series wise?
I think I will write a follow up book to Fractured Eden. I'm actually revising a murder mystery right now. Again, involving ER physicians and surgeons and that sort of thing. I think the mystery genre for me might lend itself to be a series. But a lot of people have asked me. I mean, I like the characters in Fractured Eden, so yeah, I may take it to another book. I mean, there are some things hanging at the end that could spin off into another story. I probably won't start working on that part of it for until the end of the year, though.
Gotcha. Gotcha. Now, so real quick here, because I'm fascinated by the I'm fascinated by the human mind, and this is basically what we're talking about. I mean, you know, you're kind of psychologically going into, you know, the human mind and psyche of kind of what maybe turns people to do things, and then how things affect people. So when readers kind of pick up the book and see and read the book Fractured Eden, how well or how difficult, I guess, is it to talk about the aspect of the innocence people and how they're affected by people that have mental illness, but how it affects them in a way that I think people don't realize? I think we look at the mental ill patient and say, he's needs help and this and that, but they don't look at the family of how is it affecting their daily lives.
Right, and it definitely does. I even some folks in my neighborhood that I'm close to are the parents are struggling with a bipolar child. So I see the struggles that, and it you know, it's like having an extra burden, and sometimes it's quite difficult to, in fact, maybe impossible to completely overcome and some of these adversities that you encounter from mentally ill people. In the book, for example, the mother of the bipolar man has that struggle. I mean, you see in the book how she struggles to contain him and live with him day to day. He's her son, and he's somewhat self-functional, but he lives with her, and it's a constant struggle. It's a constant daily struggle with some of these mentally ill patients. Yeah, it's not easy at all. And some of the family members and friends of mentally ill patients actually benefit from counseling themselves. And there are organizations that you can join, that families can join to get this kind of counseling and try to keep their lives together and hope alive. You know, yeah, it's all a big struggle, and you know, it's a big challenge in our society.
Well, we got about 30 seconds left, Steve, so I want to give you the last word to kind of tell everybody your website, social media, all the things that they can find out more about you.
Yes, StephenGossington.com is my website, and certainly would encourage people to go there and learn about me and the book. And I'm also on Facebook and Twitter as Stephen Gossington. So feel free to write me at my website or contact me through social media, and I'd be happy to, you know, to chat with folks that way.
Well, Steve, we want to thank you so much for coming on with you. Nothing but the best. Have a lot of fun as you continue on your blog tour. Stay in touch with us to see what you have coming up with your next book, and we'd love to have you back on and chat with you some more.
Thanks, John. I really appreciate you having me on today.
No problem. You enjoy it. Have a good one.
Okay, John.
All right. Bye-bye. So again, everybody, that is author Steve Gossington. Make sure you go to Stephen Gossington, GossingTon.com for more information on Steve, what he has, background, book, updated information, Facebook, all those links and everything are there. We want to thank you all for joining us here again today. Don't forget that Beyond the Cover comes on Monday. We are going to have Mark Greeny on the show. And then check out all the other shows, Story Blender, Crime and Science Radio, Suspense Radio, Inside Edition was yesterday. Of course, subscribe to us on iTunes. You get everything right in your device, however you want to listen to it, and it's all there. So until next time, everybody, have a good one. Keep on reading.